Morning, everyone. Welcome to our online service. So glad you could join us this morning. We're in a series called Faith Stories, in which we'll be hearing some powerful testimonies from a number of people. Last week, we heard the Osborne Obio story. And if you missed it, I really want to strongly encourage you to go to our website and listen to it. It's very, very inspiring, very moving. So this morning, I'd like to talk about the power of a testimony. We're going to go together to Acts chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, I'd like you to open to this story. It's in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. And I want to read it. It's about 25 verses, and so let's take the time to read it. Now let's pray before we do. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for your word, for the precious gift of your word. And Lord, this morning we want to take inspiration from your word. Inspiration, Lord, that really moves us and motivates us to do your will. So, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, for your grace this morning to speak and to hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarshish named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And now we get to my point here in verse 19. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished, and they asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Later on, it talks about all those who responded to him and came to Jesus. What really jumps out at me in this passage is these two words, "at once." At once, Paul began to preach that Jesus was the Son of God. How does this happen? How does you go from being an anti-Christian to a preacher of Jesus in one day? From a Christ-hater to a Christ-lover in one day. He's trying to kill the disciples one day and trying to make disciples the next day. Paul hadn't been with Jesus like the other disciples. He didn't hear his teachings. He didn't walk with him every day and see the works that he did. Yet here he was, the day after his conversion, and the scripture says, menacing all of Damascus and Jerusalem with his preaching, proving that Jesus was the Messiah. How is he doing that? How do you prove that Jesus is the Messiah without a theological degree? Paul didn't have one of those, but I'll tell you what he did have. He had the testimony of his encounter with Jesus. And he was sharing it with anyone who would hear it. And his testimony was so powerful and so persuasive that people were coming to Christ in large numbers. The impact of his encounter with Jesus was so powerful in his life that he was suddenly a different man. When we think of Paul, we think of the body of his work. He authored most of the New Testament. But what we often overlook was that throughout Paul's life, he continued to give his personal testimony about his experience on the road to Damascus over and over and over again, all through the course of his life. And he told it in detail. He told that he was a wretched man prior to his encounter with Jesus, that he had literally was a murderer. And he shared how his life was transformed in one encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, 20 years after his conversion, Paul, after his missionary journeys, he was saying his final farewell to the church at Ephesus. From here, he was on his way to Jerusalem, and everyone knew from prophecies that he was going to be put in chains and carted off to Rome from Jerusalem. And here's what he says as he is about to leave his friends in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So he's saying my life's call is just to give my testimony about what Jesus has done for me. So in Acts 22, when Paul arrives in Jerusalem after 20 years of preaching to the Gentiles, the first thing he does is he gets up in front of the, actually he has to plead with the authorities to let him do this, but he gets up in front of a big crowd of Jews and he shares this story verbatim, what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And he shares the story just the way it happened. And a short time later, in Acts chapter 26, he shares the exact same story with government officials, Governor Felix, Governor Festus, and then King Agrippa comes with his wife to hear this same story and tells this exact same story in Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 16. Now, I really relate to this story in a very personal way because I also began to share my story with others the day after I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. I won't tell you the whole story until later on in this series. I think I'll get a chance to sit down and be interviewed and to give all the backgrounds and the nuances of my story. But at age 24, after 5 years of living in the drug subculture, I was finally arrested for selling drugs, and I was placed in the Alaska State Prison. One night as I was laying in bed half asleep, I was startled by a voice inside my head. And it was a whisper. The voice said, "I am the Lord. What are you going to do about that?" And I knew it was Jesus. At the time, I was into all kinds of weird Eastern philosophy and all that, but I knew this voice was Jesus. And I couldn't tell you why I knew, but I just knew. But I didn't know what I was going to do about that. And so it took me some time. There were a lot of Christians in my family, and I couldn't stand any of them. And I certainly was horrified by the idea of being one of those. And so 2 weeks later, it took me 2 weeks, I finally broke. On the way to lunch, I turned into an empty room, and I just without even thinking, fell down on my knees in tears. and cried out to the Lord and gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was like being shot out of a cannon for me. And then the day after that, I began to tell my story. And it just began with the simple things. Hey, I've given my life to Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus. And you know, people are looking at you like, what? I've given my life to Jesus. I wrote my mother a letter. I've given my life to Jesus. Shortly thereafter, I was in prison for 11 months, but when I got out of jail, I joined the Seattle area Jesus People Army. And for the most part, our group had we were a bunch of baby Christians. We had very little understanding of doctrinal things. But each of us had our own personal story. And man, did we have stories. We had stories of deliverance from heroin, from demons, from being healed from diseases, stories of coming out of wrecked and ruined lives, of going to people and apologizing and making amends. We had all these stories. We went to the streets and we told our stories to anyone who would listen. We call this thing a testimony. And believe me, it had a powerful impact. We used to have concerts, and in between songs, different ones of us would get up and tell our story, tell our testimony. This is what happened to me. This is where I was before. This is where I'm at after. We gave testimonies, and it had a powerful impact on people. In the course of 3 years, back in the early 70s, we baptized over 5,000 people in Green Lake and Lake Washington, Lake Sammamish, and even Puget Sound. And through the course of my life, I've shared my testimony many times, maybe perhaps hundreds of times, in different settings and with different people, just telling my story. And it happened just several times in the last couple of weeks. Let me tell you a humorous story. Valerie and I took a vacation when we were first married, visit her mom in Chicago. And during our visit, we had the privilege of attending a big social event in honor of a Russian ballerina from one of the finest ballet troupes in the world. And I found myself sitting next to this renowned surgeon, brain surgeon from Wales. And during the course of our conversation, he told me that the great sorrow of his life was that his son was a drug addict. And it was a perfect segue into my testimony. So I gave him the long version of my story. And I began to tell him of my own struggles with drugs and of my encounter with the Lord, of the Lord speaking to me, of the radical change that had happened in my life in Alaska, and how I found that the answer was Jesus. And I moved through my testimony without noticing that the room had gotten quiet. When I finished my story, I heard a shaky voice from the other side of the room. The voice said, "You mean you sold drugs to kids?" It was Valerie's mom. Valerie's mom finding out for the first time the road to Damascus story of her daughter's new husband. After that, you know, my daughter, her mom whispered to a number of times, she was so afraid that our kids were going to have birth defects because I had been a drug addict and all of that. But the impact that this story had on this brain surgeon was profound. I mean, he sat there, he's an older guy, very distinguished, but he's in tears as he's listening to my story. In Paul's day, the gospel spread through the Middle East like wildfire. Not because of church events, it didn't spread because of the printed word, but it spread because thousands of people began to have personal encounters with Jesus. They began to share their stories with people around them. And when something really good happens in your life, it's easy to share it with others. And something really good had happened to these people. They had had their encounter with Jesus. Their lives had been changed. They had come out of darkness into light. They had come out of bondage into freedom. They were delivered from depression. They were healed, delivered from demons. The shame of the past had been lifted off their lives. And now they had this peace that they'd never had before, an unspeakable joy in their lives. So they shared their testimony with other people, wanting them to receive the same blessing. When the people heard their testimony, It had a powerful effect on them. It was not like just hearing some story. They could see that the ones who were telling the story, their lives were changed and they were different and they were so sincere. Those people spoke with passion and conviction. So the testimony of Jesus was passed down by one to another until the whole world was affected. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there's this familiar verse. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the remote part of the earth. Speaking here of the power of being a witness. As you open your mouth and you begin to declare what I have done for you, the power of God's going to come on you. You're going to be my witnesses. Your life will be a testimony to my love and my power. People will see and hear you talking and hear and telling what I've done for you, and they'll come to believe in me. Your testimony is a powerful thing. Your testimony is a powerful thing. Now, you may not have the kind of experience that I had or had the kind of encounter with Jesus that I had, but listen, you have had a number of things happen in your life that you can testify to someone about. And it's not just the testimony of your salvation, it's the testimony of daily things that God has done for you or the major events of your life that are so vital and so important. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 66. And in Psalm 66, David sings these words. He says, come and hear, all you who fear God, let me tell you what he has done for me. David's testimony was a powerful thing. Shortly after I had my encounter with the Lord in prison, I met a guy in prison named Floyd Stretch. And I only ever talked to him twice. And in our second conversation, while I was standing in the hallway, he gave me his testimony. I didn't ask him to give me his testimony, but he gave it to me anyway. It was really an awkward thing for me. I'm kind of standing, looking around, listening to Floyd tell me what Jesus had done in his life. And I was looking at him and his deep conviction and his passionate love for Jesus. And there's no doubt in my mind that this guy really, really believed what he was saying. And I didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit was invisibly there saying, this is the truth. This is what you need. And that set me up for my encounter with Jesus. I never saw Floyd again after I became a Christian. He doesn't even know that his testimony was one of the most significant factors in bringing me to Jesus. Probably many of you, maybe most of you, have been impacted by the testimony of a person. And many of us came to Jesus because someone shared their story and it sparked something in us. Maybe we didn't go all the way when we first heard it, but it stuck in our mind. People will argue about what the Bible says. They will argue with you about what you believe. But they will not argue with you over your testimony. What can they say? I mean, they can think you're crazy, but they will not argue with you about that. My story has become a powerful tool to lead others to Jesus Christ. And your story will as well. Take a look at how 1 John chapter 1 describes the testimony. Here's what John says. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen, and we testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Now, it's interesting. It should say, these things we write so that your joy may be made complete. We're thinking of you in sharing this story. But it actually says, we're sharing this stuff so that our joy might be complete. In other words, it gives me great joy to share my story of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. And listen, you will have many opportunities if you take them to share your story. You will. You have. Lots of times we pass up those opportunities because we're not very brave. We do this, John says, because we want you to have fellowship with us. We want you to have the same experience. We want you to know there's nothing better on the earth. Have you ever heard the term divine appointment? I'm sure you have. A divine appointment is a meeting that God has arranged between you and another person for the purpose of having you speak to them on God's behalf. Don't miss those divine appointments. You don't need to preach. I mean, this is what we have a fear of a lot of times. We've got to go out there and preach. You don't need to preach. Just tell them what the Lord has done for you. Take a bold step. Watch what happens. Tell people about the difference Jesus has made in your life. Bring your testimony to work. Bring it on the bus. Bring it on the streets in your neighborhood. Look for divine appointments, then tell your story. In 1970, I came home from Alaska so excited about Jesus, I couldn't wait to tell everyone what had happened to me. My mom was thrilled. Of course, I was a drug addict before that. I was completely wasted and worthless, but she was thrilled. My poor dad, in my enthusiasm, I forgot about this thing called timing. And it was kind of tragic because I shared Jesus with some of his friends while we were playing pinochle. He got so embarrassed that he told my mother to ask me to leave. And I did. I went and joined the Jesus People Army and went out on the streets to share Jesus with total strangers. This is what we did. The first day, I have to admit, as a matter of fact, for the first month, I think, it was really hard. I mean, I went out there, you know, I'm shy, I'm reserved, I don't do this. And you know what? You're trying to get a conversation going between you and a total stranger. But on the very first day, toward the end of the day, I shared my story with a guy, and he literally knelt down on the pavement and accepted Jesus Christ with tears. And that was the first fruits of many encounters in my life. There are so many great testimonies in the Bible. As you read the stories in the New Testament of people who would be impacted by Jesus, stories of people who were dramatically healed, and now they were going around telling other people. I think one of the greatest ones in the world is the woman at the well. A woman meets Jesus at the well. She's lived a hard and sinful life. And then she has this encounter with Jesus that changes her life. And listen to what John says about her in John chapter 4, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed him because of the woman's testimony. She literally ran from the well into the town and was telling people of her encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And more than that, people said, what? Where? Really? I mean, amazing. Her testimony, and then, of course, later on, you know, after they all heard Jesus speak and they had accepted him, they looked at the woman and said, well, we were believing because of your testimony, but now we've seen Jesus and we believe in you. A testimony is such a powerful thing. If you think you need to be a Bible school graduate to give a testimony or go to school or have some training, it's just completely wrong. From the get-go, you can just begin to say, you know what? I remember when I was learning about sharing Jesus with strangers, there was a guy named Francis Anfuso that came to our church and was teaching about evangelism. And we went out to lunch, a bunch of us, and we were standing in the line at McDonald's. And all of a sudden, Francis and his friend, they turned to each other. And his friend began to say, you know, my life was such a mess. I was a drug addict. I was this, I was that, I was the other thing. And of course, everybody in the line is like overhearing this conversation. And then he said, but you know, then Jesus came into my life. My life was totally transformed, blah, blah, blah. And he went on to giving his testimony in the line. And I know it was a trick of the trade, but people were listening intently to this story. Because you don't hear these kind of stories every day. A testimony is a powerful thing. And I'm sharing this with you because I believe God wants to embolden us to share our testimony. The Bible talks many times about people who are just bold. The Lord wants to embolden us to share our testimony because I believe that more than anything else that will grow a church, it's the testimony of the people who are in it. This week, you'll have opportunities, if you're willing to take them, to share with someone what Jesus has done for you. And I want to encourage you not to miss those opportunities. Seize the day and fulfill the Great Commission in that way. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, for your grace that emboldens us, Lord. We pray, Father God, that as we encounter people this week, Lord, that we would have compassion on them. Lord, that we would really know that what people really need is an encounter with you that is life-changing and transformative. And Father, we ask you, Lord God, this week for the boldness to step out in faith, to share Jesus with our neighbors, with our friends. Lord, as we engage people in conversation this week, Lord, let us remember this message, Lord, and let us find that opportunity to share the good things of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the power of testimony. And Lord, in the coming weeks, as we hear the testimony of different ones, Lord, may we be reminded, Lord God, that you want to use us in this way. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.